particularly their women. And it's a blessing to come each year to hear the topics, and typically for me to be sitting where you're sitting. When we gather like this, there's a good sharing of information. There's opportunities for each one of us to grow, consider further God's word, and for these times, I'm thankful. To take the leadership. God has set up leadership in many ways for all of us here. We have that government. We have the church. We have families. Those things have been set up in Scripture. Some of the simple questions that we may ask is, what does our life look like without leadership? One, there isn't, because God has planned. God has provided an example for us, even in himself. Leadership, and leadership qualities, characteristics. And without any sense of direction, a lack of leadership, where would you find each one of us? All you need to do is look outside into the world. People are leading in things that are incorrect, traveling paths that lead to destruction. Thanks be to God for his life to us. When we think of conviction, when we think of our core values, the first things that we hold dear, whatever that conviction may be, we see Paul convicted early in one direction, and that we see a change in his conviction towards Christ and his life. That strong belief is something that drives a person to move forward in their path of life. Focus and fortified on that strong belief. When it comes to faith, these are some of the way I see it. Faith is conviction guided by God through His Word and His evidences. I want to get His evidences from this morning. We see convicted leader, someone who stands in that conviction. Determined to see that God's way is upheld, practiced. To have purpose and direction. To those that you're a leader over, what do they see in you? Do they see trusted advisor? That guide? Do they see example? These are the things that we hope that they would see if we practice it. The short version. Convicted leader comes down to what God wants, you want. What God says to do, you want done. And if we have our conviction where it needs to be, we have our strength and fortitude to trust in God, what are we going to do? Are we going to be the men that step forward and do those things that God calls to be done? And to find glory in those things that He's glorified through our actions? Presence, the glory, and pleasure, and pride that can be taken in compliments of men and pleasing other people. Matthew 16:24-27, these unto the disciples said, if any man will come after me, what? Let him deny himself and take up my cross and follow me. What God wants done, we want that. And denying ourselves is to let what we want to have. Pick up, as leaders, what God wants us to pick up and to blaze the trail where He wants it to be blazed. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what does a man profit if he can gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. There in verse 26, the latter part, taking, you know, I don't know, something popping in my mind, something that can explain it, but whenever we see what shall a man give in exchange for his soul, and we think about the leadership role, whether it's yourself, your family, the church, whatever. know, we talk about squeaky wheels, things like that, but I say, oh, squeaky wheel gets the news, right? Not God's plan. Not if it's not God's will. Do we give in to squeaky wheels and man's desires as leaders, whether in our family, in the congregation? What if we give up? There's another gift there. We give up. We give up opposing the squeaky wheels and man's desires. That might be something we give up in the way of soul because we didn't want to stand on what we should as leaders. How about just give up? We just give out. Deal with it. Deal with this with you. To do these, is an act of God. It's not the God in God. A convicted leader is the one that's safe in their stance. Not willing to lead one way or the other, but to walk God's path. What will we prioritize in front of God? Something for us to consider. When we think of great leaders, there are many that we see in Scripture. But I want to look at one this morning. Let's have some. Let's look at Christ. This is not complete. You know, these are not all the verses. There are many more, and I know that y'all will be pumping out verses in your mind. But look at this too. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto God, even the death of the cross. John 13, 3-15. You call me Master and Lord, Christ says, and you say, well, so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. When we think of leaders, convicted leaders, and we see a verse like this, it's like, oh, what are you saying? We need to see ourselves in God's plan as servants for those that we are leading. If we do not see ourselves as servants, then what do we see ourselves as? Is it God's plan? Is it God's? Isn't it God's wishes that we're supposed to be following? Many times we miss a following where the glory needs to go for my great coming. In John 9:4-5, we see Christ, something else Christ says is very profound. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But see, the leader committed to do what he was sent to do. Those things that he had laid out for him to do, I must do it. His attitude. What is our attitude towards the things as leaders we should be doing? Must. Matthew 26:39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. We see in verse 42 something very similar, a little bit different, but very good similar. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. What do we know during hard times when pressure's on us? As a convicted leader, are you going to stand? Are you going to cave into things that people may be trying to convince you to do? Whether a leader of self, family, church, whatever it might be. Then John 17:4-5, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Just a few verses, but as we look at these as a considered Christ, we see a convicted leader. We see someone who understands that there is something for him to do, something something for him to do, to be done in a specific way, and we see him complete it in such a great way. And what hope we have to do that. Considering Christ and his conviction, remember the following we're supposed to be thinking of. How serious are we when it comes to God and his ways? Does it surpass how interested, how convicted we are then in maybe sports, fishing, archery? And when we think of these things, as we got the best beer, we're watching the timing, it's for sports, and we all got the rules, and we're watching other teams, and we're very critical of things. And yet we spend a lot of time emotionally sometimes, and we're all about the legality of the play. What should be done? What should be done? How serious should we be about God's word? It's eternal. The consequences are eternal. Colossians 3:23 reads, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." I see this and hear the life in the working world, where those who may write it up there as a reminder or an encouragement, they would pay. You know, work because you're working for the Lord. When we look at this, we should be laboring for the Lord in what way? Heartily. That is that's what the whole thing is based on, is what we should be doing. Makes me wonder if we truly work for others as we do for the Lord, would we still be employed? Would we still be employed? Something to consider. We always have to keep in mind again what God wants, I want. What God wants done, I want done. Amen. We must decide in ourselves that we're going to be God's man. Many deceive themselves into thinking that they made that decision. We can fall into that. We think, well, I'm doing that. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And many times we look at what's being done and may not consider what's not being done. What God wants, I want. When we look at Moses, I mean, a lot of times we pick on Moses. One thing about Moses, though, is he did go. Sometimes we may make excuses, but then do we think about it? We don't encourage them? Do we kind of get busy and get going? Or do we just keep making excuses why things don't get done, whether in the family or in the church family? Moses has some concerns for what God was asking him to do. That's just 3:4. Voice those of God. One thing I noticed about God, though, is he was patient. He was patient with Moses. He kept helping him move along in the process. But you get to that point to where God says, "Did I not make you man? I'm not going to be with you, don't worry." And then we see Moses go. He does go. And then think about this, Moses had to pen this about himself. I'm sure, but to do the will of God is greater than what I might be worried about what I've been doing above the system. The scripture gives us all that we need to be a man of God, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Why do they not seek to have God's will to follow? We know that it's set us up to be complete. But do we exercise everything that it has for us? Do we challenge ourselves? When we consider the leaders, our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, what do we see as far as characters up there? We see vision and planning before the world was. We see activity. We see that they're patient. We see that they're consistent. Clear lines of communication. We have a goal. salvation. I have another day. When we help them, they don't do those things which are needful. Consider God's desired character. And consider him. Are you a help or a hindrance? If so, are you a help or a hindrance to your family? How about the congregation of the church? Are you a help or a hindrance? Some potential leader characteristics. Some of these things we don't remember that. We have to make sure that we are focused on what God wants. I'm going to keep saying that. What God wants, we want. But many times, some characteristics of leadership, we see that a person may be overbearing. We don't really see that as potentially being self-centered. Focus more on myself. Enjoying the power over others. We may not see it that way, but we have to be careful and consider ourselves in the view of it all. Are you indifferent? Again, you're different. That is another self-focused item, but not concerned with what God has really said, and not all of it, some of it, kind of out in the middle, wishy-washy. Rather than changing the mind to be I do think. I do want God's ways to do. One for myself and for others. Then there's a couple. And many times, if we don't like confrontation, if we don't like to really have that discussion with someone, are we weak? To be weak is also serving self. If we are not ready for those conversations, if we're not ready to have them, encourage others. And maybe it's that, perspective, look back on ourselves. If we're not doing what needs to be done and ready to do what needs to be done, we're being self-centered. We're doing it because of self. Or are we spiritually grounded, respecting to God by helping and doing self, your family, church, his family, being selfless. Seeking God's ways for the best of all. It sounds good, but many times it has tough jobs to do. But will we not do them because God wants them to be done? Are you patient? Seeking to understand and help. Try to truly see where someone's coming from and getting that picture in with Scripture, being able to show God's plan, God's path. It's not what I'm telling you. That they account for anything. I can't believe you anyway. God can. Do we have that attitude where we're really trying to help the folks with selfless? Now you focus on achieving the best outcome. This particular one can honor not only general discussions, but having a thought on what is the best outcome that can be had in any situation is something that needs to be considered. Whether it's having a tough discussion with an individual, a group, maybe an eldership, with another eldership, just talking through things, what is the best outcome? Considering the people involved. Is it describing the child's community? Is it trying to help bring you to something that is maybe not quite right? If we will set in mind what is the best outcome from a biblical view. And we set that in front of us as a guide for everything that we're doing as we talk and as we go through the discussion. Don't lose sight of that. Don't let your emotions get involved. Keep your eyes tight. Keep your eye on the ball. Stay on target. And if we will do those things, then pray about that before we ever go into that discussion. Chances of success go up. Don't let our emotions get involved, which can easily happen if we're not careful. When will we adjust our responses to being and building leaders to God? When will we adjust our response to God and say, I will? To that maker, sustainer, father? For if we will plant the water, he will give increase. We've got to be busy. Thank you. things, and we change our desires, what we want. Maybe what is found for us to be acceptable, joyful. That's the answer. We can adjust our sins. When we think it's leading ourselves, and it's just as repentance. Everybody's kind of looking at it a little bit on this time, but just as repentance, we can change our minds about things, and we should. But we can also change our minds if we're being indifferent or if we're holding back on some work. We can also change our minds for what is a good work. Am I going to pursue it? Am I going to engage in it? We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Does consistency play a part in convicted leadership? Yes, it does. You know, whether in the church or out of the church, there's one word that everybody always understands very well: hypocrite. It gets thrown around quite a bit. By the things that we do and the things that we don't do, folks see. For those in the family, your children. Psalms 119:133. When I was taking that conviction, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Conviction. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Conviction. And they that seek him with the whole heart. Conviction. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his way. Ideas to strengthen one's leadership of self. Study and prayer. Study and pray. With that, though, you have to make a decision. You've got to set your mind on what you're going to do. We all do. Will we do that? Psalms 119:104 is to see that precept. I get understanding. Here comes the latter part. Therefore, I hate every false way. 128, same chapter. Therefore, I esteem all that precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. To be a convicted leader, you are going to bump into temptation from time to time. You're going to have things that challenge you. You have individual battles. But with leadership, there's sometimes those that others may not bump into. We talked about this a little bit before, as far as whether we give in, give up, or give out, we can leave. We have to hate sin. Our attitude towards sin should stand firm where God stands. Many times as leaders, if something is in your family or is in the congregation where you're at, let's say it's something simple, it's like you're sitting in a box, you're sitting in this little room. Door opens up and rattlesnakes put in. Now all of a sudden your feet come up and you can sit on a stool, that way you can be there. You don't want to be there, because why? We know that we see the danger, we don't want to get bad, we know there's poison going on, and all of a sudden we're very quick to remove ourselves and get ourselves away from that, and then if we can, remove the snake or self, we're out of it. But how often, whether in the church or in the family, some little sin is taking place, and we don't handle it. We leave it there in the room with us. It's Satan in the room with us. It's him. And how often do we just wait, let it run up there right beside us? We're not even trying to get away from it. Because we hold it up and go, we don't want to hurt someone else. I don't want to hurt someone's feelings. This could split the congregation. This could just split our children, spouse, whatever it may be. Be something very serious. And yet, we let it stay there. Is there poison involved in that belief? Is it just death here? No. Yeah, you could die from a snake bite, but you don't want to die eternally. Whenever we think of sin, we deal with sin, we need to have that same type of feeling. It's dangerous. You take care of it, get rid of it. Don't make excuses. We talked about Moses a little earlier, but Moses and Aaron were brothers. Exodus 32 and 21, and probably 24, Moses said to them, "What did this people unto the youth? The Lord has brought so great a sin upon them." Think about that as you read. Do you want this to be said to you one day? Why do these people need to make you? We have to stand in front of them. And Aaron said, "Let not the anger of the Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they have set on this. Put the blame somewhere else. Don't this sin. Don't have any part of it. Part of it. And they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us, for us, for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, who art not, what is become of him? And I said unto him, Whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off, so they gave it to me. Then I cast it in the fire, and there came out the skin." It doesn't matter if the whole congregation is going to see you standing for truth. Doesn't matter what the volume of people is. God is greater. God is greater than eternal life is in the balance. Also, for us to be convicted individual, let's not be a friend to neighbor. We're going to really step in there and help the family, serve the family. And whatever capacity you can, doesn't mean to stay in with your biblical language. I guess I would say what you can say, if you're not qualified for something, don't attempt to take it on. Because then what is that? That's just disrespect to God. Don't be there. Stay in your biblical lane. But be active in whatever you can do. Things happen to us in this life that may be things that limit us from doing one thing or another. But the question is to be, what can I do? What can I do to help the family? Side of the family, we see the husbands as the bread of the wife. We see the responsibility there for the home. We see the responsibility for the children. Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and the Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church, how much? Gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, but in the same standard, but that it should be holy and blameless." Husbands, as you lead your family, as you consider your wives, when you look at this here, we also see this is Christ protecting, taking care of the church. What are you doing for your wife? You do the same thing. You care for her in such a way that no one is able to come up with. Are you supporting her in her Christian walk? We have to consider those things. When we look at what Christ and the relationship that they have, and we look at the husband and the wife, how much care for those who serve the church? How much care should we give as we consider that which is part of Christ's bride? If my wife was to go somewhere and she needed to be looked after and cared for, you would look for certain type of people to take care of. You wouldn't want them to do what is okay. You want them to do the best for them. And yet we have Christ and His bride, and many times we may not be considering who we're actually taking care of in some way, the church. How important is that? Being a convicted mother, what drives your sensitivity for leading your family with conviction? God's will and love, along with our love for our family. The need for salvation for all? We hope so. There's something to consider about your family. A lot of times we say, well, you know, here, my kids are here. You know, we look at our children and we think that they're ours. If we give them a soul, no. We may have passed on some genetic code, which wasn't in the world. But our children, God has put those there for us to care for. And we consider that, what does He want? He wants them back. He wants them back faithfully. And so as we consider our children, and how we should look after them, the need for them to have salvation. We need to be teaching them. And I'm not talking about taking the church or the Bible places, I'm taking them home. You have to teach them. Are you going to lead them? Or is someone else going to lead them? Love your family, spend time with your family. Some of the best times are talking with your children. And you know what? You need to share tough things that you have going in your life. Because when you share with them, and you're sharing with them, hey, it's not just about them. A lot of times you want to go in there and say, what's wrong with you? That's not it. You go in there and spend time with them, talk with them. Tell them, hey, I'm working through this issue. Tell them a little bit. Then you're teaching them how to think through these things. Quote scriptures in where scriptures apply. Let them see how concerned you are and how you're thinking through it. You're training them. And we also, there's something else we need to be teaching our kids. We need to teach our kids that once you leave the house, you're still supposed to honor father and mother. When did we start teaching that once you're gone, there's no one? There's no accountability back for that. Don't teach your kids that. It's incorrect. John 2, verse 5, whenever Mary does say whatsoever he said to do it to the servants during the wedding. Right before that, he goes, what does this have to do with me? It's not my time yet. And Mary, I can see it. Mary's got it. We don't see her really respond to that. She just turns around and tells us, whatever he says, y'all do it. Most profound direction that we really found in Scripture, that's it. Whatsoever Christ said is doing. And we see him honoring his mother, even in that. Because he recognizes it's not his time. And what do we have to do with that? For a church family, for our church family, these things that we talked about still apply. We have to love and care for the church family. It's God's children, our brothers and sisters. We have to spend time with our brethren, just as we do with our kids. And our elders, make sure they know things in the elders. Make sure they take care of the leading so that you don't have one that's all good kind of slips in to where you have to get lead elder. Move those things around a little bit. You have a duty. Make sure you're covering what the family should be doing for benevolence, education, evangelism. Make sure you discuss those things in meetings so that you know that you're looking at considering the work that is laid out for the family member. Be swift to restore the truth. Training One thing is, don't let their skill outpace their character. Something that I say many times. Don't let their skill outpace their character. And what I mean by that is, whenever someone gives us compliments, we don't have that character to really keep that down. We can get prideful in ourselves. We become where we don't consider those around us as much. We're not open to it. And that pride kind of closes our mouth a little bit on how we're really supposed to be helping the family. It's to God be the glory. And let it stay there. But don't outpace their character, but their skill outpace their character. Remember, what He wants, you want. What He wants done, you want to have done. You're not ready for every opportunity to do what needs to be done. May God bless you as you